Hey, welcome back to the Lives of Honorable Men. We'll continue in chapter 6. Last time we together began to talk about the power of covenant and understanding covenant. I gave the example of the farmers and the hunters and how they come together to eliminate weaknesses, how Satan uses one tool to accomplish two things. He uses lies to divide and conquer. When he can divide and conquer, covenant cannot exist. When covenant does not exist, a synergy cannot take place. So there must be a paradigm shift in your thinking when it comes to church. This is why I harp so much on the subject of being God-centric rather than self-centric. Because when you're God-centric, you can see what God sees, you can hear what God hears, and you can do what God does. We're made in his image. God put man and woman together to come to become one flesh so that they can accomplish his will. And so an apostolic church has to be about the agenda of God. And you cannot be about the agenda of God if you're not in covenant. I talked about last time how it is by becoming fruitful that the power is released for multiplication. You read Genesis the second chapter, 24th verse, and we read Genesis 1:28, where God said, be fruitful and multiply. Listen to this. It is by the process of eternalization that the dynamics for increase is achieved. Turn me to Isaiah 51, verses 1 and 2. It is by the process of internalization that the dynamics for increase is achieved. Now, let me read to you what internalization means so you understand what that statement means. Internalization is the long-term process of consolidating and embedding one's own belief, attitudes, and value from a within process. In other words, it simply means that your beliefs, your attitude, your values has to become concrete, unchangeable. In other words, there are some foundational things that you have to have in your life that can only be built on. That process of, that's the only way covenant can be powerful. Because remember now, there's only two reasons to walk away from covenant. One is because that person that you're in covenant with walks away from God and no longer wants to deal with God, be bothered with God, anything. You have a right to break that covenant. The second reason is by death. So being those the only two reasons that you can break covenant, one is by death, meaning you've, the Apostle Paul say, I've run my race. I've finished my course. You have finished your race. You have finished your course. The other one is when a person walks away from God, internalization of values and attitudes and beliefs causes you to stay the course, even when somebody else veers off. That's why Jesus died on the cross. Let's read, watch this, Isaiah 51, verse 1. He says, hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit which ye are digged. Verse 2, looking unto Abraham your father, unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. So verse 3, for the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places and will make her wilderness like Eden and her deserts like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Verse 3 exists because of eternalization. You look at verse 2, he says, look unto Abraham, your father, and unto Sarah. Why should we look unto Abraham and Sarah? It is because they gave us a blueprint for covenant. Let's think about what Abraham did. Because he heard the voice of God, he left his mother and father, which means God has said, I'm getting ready to start another whole thing with you. He said, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. God told him, I'm going to give you a son. I'm going to bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you. Abraham, watch this. Even after God gave him his son, God asked for the son back. And because Abraham trusted God and was in covenant with God, he was ready to sacrifice Isaac. But God, being the God that He is, God is not a He's not a person to give and then take back. He said, Abraham went to sacrifice. He said, the Lord will provide. And God provided a ram. That was, watch this now, watch. Listen to covenant and why it's important for us to be in covenant with God and with each other. People don't realize the important thing that Abraham did when he obeyed God, trusted God, came into covenant God, trusted God's agenda. Matter of fact, in that 15th chapter of Genesis, turn there, matter of fact, turn there, Genesis 15th chapter, watch that. Genesis the 15th chapter. Genesis the 15th chapter. Very powerful. You're going to see something very powerful. Now, Abraham had went back to get Lot and had given tithe to Melchizedek, who was God made flesh. We'll get into that later. Verse 15, chapter 15, verse 1, it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. That's God making, still making covenant. Since the 12th chapter, he's still making covenant with Abram. Watch what Abram said. Abram said, Lord God, what would thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? Now, that's a very important. We're going to get to this concept later in chapter 8 or 9. But to be in covenant, you must be born in the house. What that mean? Eliezer was not born in Abram's house. So it's not as easy for him to grasp the thought process of Abram that came from God. You have to be born in the house, meaning you have to lay down all of your agendas and take up the agenda of the house. We're going to get to that. But yet, God, in that fourth verse, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thine heir. And so God went on and renewed the covenant with Abram. He put Abram in a deep sleep, and in the dream, God came down. He had animals. They pretty much did the same ceremony as I told you with a farmer and the hunter. All right. So we see that Abraham could cut covenant with God, was in covenant with God. God promised him a son. God gave him a son. Now, this is how powerful covenant is. God asked for the son back in a sacrifice. Abraham went to do it. Now, here's the beautiful thing about it. When Abraham went to sacrifice his son, it gave God permission to sacrifice his son. Catch that. See, covenant is important. See, that's why you cannot be self-centric. Because if Abram would have been self-centric, Abram would have held up Jesus from coming to the earth. Don't tell me covenant is not important. Don't tell me covenant with your leader is not important. Don't tell me covenant with your spouse is not important. Don't tell me covenant with your kids are not important. Don't tell me covenant with your brothers and sisters in Christ in the same apostolic house is not important. Because when everybody played a part, the agenda of God is accomplished. If Abraham had not attempted to sacrifice Isaac in the earth realm, God would have never been given permission to sacrifice Jesus on the cross. That's why in Isaiah, it says, look to the rock, look unto Abraham and Sarah. Because of what they did, we have a chance to be hewn from the same rock of Jesus. So because Jesus died on the cross for our sins, we now have the same opportunity and rights to have covenant with God just like Abram had. So now we have the same right and ability to have covenant with God like Abram had. Why are you dealing with what you're dealing with? That's the question. Why are you dealing with what you're dealing with? The answer is very simple. You ready for the answer? It's because you're not paying attention to your covenant with God as your father. You're even looking at your covenant with God from a self-centric point of view. See, that's one of the things you cannot do in covenant. You cannot look. See, in America, we look at agreements and we look at contracts from our point of view. What is our benefit? But in the supernatural and in the way covenants were taught, were performed during Jesus' time, people looked at covenant from the eyes of their counterparts. What can I do to make their life better? Can you imagine what kind of results you will get in your life if you begin to look at your covenant with God from His point of view? Oh, my God. Glory to God. From His point of view. God, what can I do to make your presence known better on the earth? God, what can I do? And then God looking at covenant from your point of view, what can I do for you to make your life better here on earth? Go to Matthew 11. Glory to God. Matthew 11. Matthew 11. Praise God. I love it. Recognizing your covenant with God. Remember now, your covenant with God is for destiny. Our covenant with each other is for relationship. Matthew 11 chapter. Watch what Jesus said. Watch what Jesus said. Matthew 11 chapter. Verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and has revealed them unto babes. All right. Well, it's so simple. See, we get as adults, we get all complicated, we get all deep. Nah, it's very simple. Let's do it. Very simple. Watch this. Verse 26. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. Verse 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Verse 28, come unto me. See, it would be no come unto me if Abraham had not attempted to sacrifice Isaac, which gave God, it's called the law of reciprocity. God said, because you did this, Abram, in the earth realm, I have now been given permission to enter into the earth realm in the form of my son to give myself for mankind so I can redeem them. So if it wasn't for Abraham, it would be no come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is why Isaiah said, look unto Abram and Sarah, who were in covenant with God and wanted God's presence to be revealed on the earth, even if it cost them their son that God had given them. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is Jesus talking. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's how simple it is. Are you going to take on the burdens of God? Because he said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So why are you carrying all that stuff? Why are you yoked to where you can't move around freely like God wants you to move? It's simply because you're not looking at your covenant with God from his point of view. You're looking at it from your point of view. You're looking at it from your Americanized Western Hemisphere thought process. I'm only in this agreement to see what I can benefit from. Every covenant, every agreement, every contract that is written in the United States, that's why we have our court system, because some people just, they forget. And when things don't go their way, they're ready to break agreement. Abraham did not break agreement with God when God asked for his son. That's a very powerful concept. Very powerful concept. And listen, God will not cause you to go in a covenant with somebody that will take advantage of you. If you're in a covenant or a relationship with somebody taking advantage of you, it's because you made that covenant. God didn't authorize it. Because God always protects those he come in covenant with. He protected Abram. He asked for Abram's son. Abraham decided to say, oh, we're going to sacrifice Isaac. God said, Don't act sacrifice Isaac. I got a ram caught in a thicket. I just needed you to perform, I just need you to be willing to go through with it so I can get permission to bring my son here on the earth. So that's where we get Matthew 11, 27, 28, and 27, 28, 29, and 30. I hope you're understanding the power of covenant. See, because Jesus, here's why Abraham is so important, because that has to become eternalized. It has to become concrete on the inside of you. It has to be a foundation. Because Abram had that as a concrete foundation on the inside of him, God could have asked him for anything, and he was willing. He trusted God. He was willing to do what God asked him to do. Now, here's the power of covenant. Because the church has not understood covenant, or has not understood the covenant that they have with God, or see covenant from his point of view, or simply to be God-centric, the church has become self-centric. It's all about me solving my problems, me solving my issues, me solving my dilemmas. I just won't come to church to solve my dilemmas. I don't really care if nobody else got dilemmas. I don't really care if God is asking me to minister to somebody. I'm not really concerned about that. I just want what I want. That's what I'm here for. I'm just here to get what I can get. What that has done, it has opened the church up for attack. It opened up what's called an attack vector. Remember what I told you, the one tool, the one weapon that Satan uses? What is it? That's right, lies. What does lies do? They divide and conquer. So Satan has been using lies in the church to divide and conquer. Go to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. Isaiah, the 59th chapter. When we become self-centric, we tend to walk after the flesh, not after the spirit. Because if we can't see changes from the outside, we begin to try to take the word of God and do things to make the changes on the outside instead of taking the word of God, find out what God wants and doing what he asks and allow change to happen from the inside, which will affect the outside. So because the church has not been in covenant, has not been about God's agenda, other things have creeped into the church. And so when things creep into the church, sin creeps in. When sin creeps in, it separates us from God. Now, I'm not talking about you as an individual. I'm talking about the church as a whole. Let me define sin to be. Let's get to the root definition of sin. I'm mentioning about sin, I'm not just talking about as they proverbial cardinal sins where you do something wrong. Sin simply means sin is simply an act that separates you from God. Sin is anything that causes you to be separated from God's thought process, God's agenda, and what God wants. Now, I'll give you an example. God told Jonah, get to Nineveh. I'm about to destroy it. I need you to get to Nineveh. I need you to represent me. I need you to minister to those people. Because if not, I'm going to destroy Nineveh. Jonah ran from the voice of God. In other words, Jonah was in sin. I want you to change the concept of sin. It's just not what he did wrong. Because literally, he didn't commit no cardinal sin. But he ran from the voice of God. Anytime you cannot hear the voice of God and you're doing things other than what God has asked you to do, you're in sin. Not cardinal sin. See, don't get it twisted. You didn't do nothing physically wrong, but you didn't hear the voice. Jonah heard the voice of God and ran from it. So he was in sin. That's why all that stuff happened to Jonah. And God's grace. Well, first of all, God's mercy, then his grace kicked in so that Jonah could get back on track. That's what Jesus did for us. Jesus came and died on the cross so that we would have opportunity through the mercy of God to access the grace of God so that we can get back on track, so that the church as a whole can get back on track to his agenda. So in order to understand the power of covenant, I need to walk you through what happens when the church is not in covenant with God and not in covenant with each other. There's a process of decline that takes place. Look in Isaiah 59:1. It says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear." When we are separated from God's agenda, from his, what he wants, we are separated from him because of our sins. Not just cardinal sins, just simply not knowing what God wants. The better way to explain it is Isaiah 1. Go to Isaiah 1. Isaiah 1. Very familiar scripture, Isaiah 1, verse, we know 19, but let's read verse 18, because verse 18 says something powerful. It says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, or though your actions," that's what it means, sins, action, "though your actions be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow." What God is saying is, come, let us put our minds together. When we put our minds together, even though your actions that you had before we put our minds, our thoughts together, was going this direction, was separating you from me. So that necessarily means you were doing something wrong. It's just that this idea you had was going to take you further away from my plans for your life. But when you reason with God, put your thoughts together with God, "though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." In other words, when God said, when you come and think with me and meditate with me and spend time with me, any action that was going to take you away from my plan for your life is going to be changed and rearranged, and you're going to be put closer to my plans for your life. You're going to know exactly what I want you to do. Then it leads to, that's why verse 19 becomes important. Verse 19 is ineffective without verse 18. Verse 19 says, "If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land." Willing and obedient to what? What God is asking me to do. So go back to Isaiah 59. He says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear." He said, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear you." So because the church has not been in covenant with God, or his agenda has not been the focus, it's always been about us, sin creeps into the church. And when sin creeps into the church, God is no longer available for us. He's there for us, but not available. Why? Because sin is in the way. We see God withdraw his presence and his power from us. His ears are shut towards us. His face does not shine on us. His hands no longer are stretched toward us. The favor is withdrawn because of sin and our separation from him. Look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, "For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue have muttered perverseness." Look at verse 12. Verse 12 says, "For our transgressions are multiplied before thee. Our sins testify against us, for our transgressions are with us. And as far as iniquities, we know them." Verse 13, "In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart the words of falsehood." Now, heavy, heavy hang over our head when I say this. The people of God are like this because the priest led them there. Anytime a man or woman of God says, "Thus said the Lord," and gives direction, and the direction didn't come from God, they're lying. I know it sounds simple, but it's truth. So without God, without the apostle, the prophet, the teacher, the pastor, the evangelist, without all those fivefold working in harmony in a culture of honor, things got to be made up. There are so many pastors that have made up the agenda of God instead of being connected to an apostle that knows the agenda of God. So when you don't know the agenda of God, you got to make stuff up as you go. That's where denominations come from. Denominations are simply man's idea about who God is. And we're going to go around in circles so we can maintain power over you. See, nowhere in the Bible. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Go to 1 Corinthians. I think it's 1 Corinthians. And we'll close here now. We'll continue. We're gonna be in the chapter a couple of weeks. We'll be in the chapter a couple of weeks. Look, it says what before we go, we become corrupt internally and decline in our spiritual state. So therefore, when we don't know what God wants, we got to make it up. We could become corrupt eternally, automatically, because we don't know what God wants. When you don't know what God wants, and pastors and teachers and evangelists and prophets, and they're making stuff up as they go, which is essentially lying, we become eternally corrupt and decline in our spiritual state. We can't hear the voice of God. We don't know what God wants. See, as I was saying, all of us ought to be powerful. See, our job is the fivefold. If you're in the fivefold ministry, if you're part of the fivefold ministry, one of the fivefold ministry gifts, is your job to perfect the saints, prepare them for the work of the ministry, so that the body of Christ can be built. We can't do that making stuff up. We got to know, be accurate. We got to know each role. An apostle, remember now, the definition of apostle is he or she structures heaven to earth government so that the portals of the supernatural can be open. Why do the portals of the supernatural need to be open? So we can know what God wants. So that all those enter in can enter into the kingdom of God, knowing what he wants, can benefit. So go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Am I in the right one? 1 Corinthians. No, it's got to be 2 Corinthians 1. Go to 2 Corinthians 1. I know it's one of the Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians 1. Yeah, that's it. 2 Corinthians 1. The Apostle Paul is talking to the Corinthian church. This is why you cannot rely on your man and woman of God to know God for you. You have to get to know God for yourself so that God can direct you. There are times when God speaks to me about apostle to give me clearer understanding of how I can better play my part, because that's what I'm looking for. How I can improve the covenant. Improve the relationship. Look what verse 24 says. 1 Corinthians 1 and 24. This is the Apostle Paul talking to the Corinthians. He said, not for that we have dominion over your faith. Your pastor, your spiritual leader does not have dominion over your faith. What's another word for faith? Assignment. Not that we have dominion over your assignment, but we are helpers of your joy. That's Ephesians 4 and 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, till the body of Christ can be built, so the body of Christ can be edified. Not that we have dominion over your assignment, but are helpers of your joy, for by assignment you stand. So the church has been plunged into a chaotic state because of the lack of covenant, because of the lack of knowing God's agenda, because the priests haven't been where they're supposed to be. So that's why we are understanding, we're learning the roles of apostles and prophets, teachers and pastors and evangelists, so that everybody can play their role so that the body of Christ can mature. Not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, not being lied to, being told the truth, and you being taught how to have a relationship, a personal relationship with God, a personal relationship with God, so that you can recognize the voice of God, recognize if this is God or this is not God. If this ain't God, I can walk away. If this is not God, I can walk away. If this is not God, I can hold my peace until God straightens it out, because I can recognize where God is moving. See, the Apostle Paul telling them, we don't have dominion over your faith. We don't have dominion over your assignment. We don't have dominion over what God told you to do. Because if you're connected properly, God ain't going to tell you to do anything that caused confusion. Come on now. See how this working together? See how, how important. Remember now, our covenant with God is for destiny. So your covenant with God is going to give you the insight on who you're going to be connected to and how can you assist them. Our covenant with each other is for relationships so we can accomplish what God has called us to do. I've thoroughly enjoyed this class. I enjoyed being with you. Next week, we'll continue in chapter 6 and we'll go through the other points. If you want, you can read chapter 59. I encourage you to read the chapter. Like for instance, number 4, when the church is not in covenant with God, doesn't understand and sin is creeping into the church. Our blessings, provision, and protections are cut off. Oh, my God. All right, time to get to this one. We'll get into it next week. I bless you. Have a great rest of your week.